I'm Kara Lamar.
Welcome to the STLE Compass, brought to you by the Society of Tribologists and Lubrication Engineers. The STLE Compass is your convenient and reliable resource for the latest developments in the tribology community. In today's episode, we'll feature an interview with the author, Peter Blau, who is the author of Friction Science and Technology, From Concepts to Applications. The book covers the following topics: introductory mechanics approaches to solid friction, measuring friction in the laboratory, fundamentals of sliding friction, solid friction of materials, lubrication to control friction, effects of tribosystem variables on friction, running in and other friction transitions, and applications of friction technology. Peter Blau is a native of Reading, Pennsylvania. He earned a BS and MS degree from Lehigh University and a PhD from Metallurgical Engineering from The Ohio State University. He served as a U.S. Air Force officer at the Air Force Materials Laboratory and later on the staff of the former National Bureau of Standards, now called NIST. A fellow of ASM International, ASTM International, and STLE, Peter has specialized in materials-related friction, hardness, and wear issues throughout his R&D career, authoring 4 books and authoring or co-authoring over 160 journal articles. A longstanding member of the International Wear of Materials Conference Steering Committee, he will serve as editorial chairman for the 2013 WOM Conference in Portland, Oregon. Presently, he is a distinguished R&D staff member in the Material Science and Technology Division at Oak Ridge National Laboratory in Tennessee. So, Peter, welcome to the STLE Compass.
Thank you, Kara. I appreciate the chance to chat a bit about one of my favorite subjects, friction.
Well, very good. We're glad to have you. So first, let's start off with, how did you get the idea for the book, and what kind of, what inspired you to take on the project?
Well, I got interested in the materials aspect of friction pretty early in graduate studies at Ohio State, particularly in transient behavior like running in. And over the years, it seemed to me that many of the published reviews of friction were just too narrow, maybe too focused on one point of view. So I felt a need to expose people who were curious about friction to a broader perspective, and also to expand the perspective of those who've work perhaps in just one corner of the field of tribology.
Can you provide any other examples of other books on the topic, or how is this book unique from others?
Well, I can think of a few other books on the topic of solid friction, and there are more books that, if you include lubrication along with it, and many more that have either a chapter or two on friction in a general text or handbook on tribology. But I think what makes my book stand out is an attempt to acknowledge different approaches to the subject. For example, one review of friction might just focus on atomistic explanations. Another might discuss microscale features like asperities and so forth. Another one might ignore the complications of real engineering systems, like the kind of non-steady state operation you find in brakes and engines. So basically, I wanted to step back from that single point of view approach and in one book consider friction all the way from the explanations we get in high school science class to more detailed metallurgical considerations that acknowledge the complexity of real materials and whether they're lubricated or not. In short, I wanted to reveal the richness of friction science, both in theory and applications.
Focusing on this book, can you give us a little background on, the different topics you address, the subject matter, and so forth?
Sooner or later, everyone has a friction problem. So it could be as trivial as lubricating a squeaky hinge, or as life or death important as fixing a worn set of brakes. And a few readers might pick up my book just to look up some friction coefficients or to remember how to set up simple statics problems. But I hope they would get more out of it than that. In fact, it's really important not to use tabulated friction coefficients without understanding the data, how the data were measured in the first place. Friction coefficients can vary by a factor of 4 for the same material couple, depending on the contact conditions. So I included a chapter on friction measurement methods, as well as a separate index for material-specific friction data, in the hope that the information would be used wisely. The second edition of the book also includes a material from projects I worked on since the first edition came out in 1996. For example, there's more about brakes and more about friction-assisted metal forming like thermal drilling and other and processes like that.
Okay, so what topics does the book cover then, if you want to go into some detail?
Well, I need to begin with the history of friction science, which, by the way, is much longer and richer than the history of wear science. I wanted to show how friction science and the theories that it spawned were shaped by concepts of what a solid surface was, and how those concepts were affected by inventions like profiling machines and high-resolution microscopy. One professor used to tell me that the worst theories of friction and wear came from researchers who never bothered to look at a real surface through a microscope. And I think I can agree with that. So I wanted to provide the history as kind of a basis for how people thought about surfaces. And after the introduction, I get into some basic mechanics problems like blocks sliding down ramps, trucks traveling around curves, and simple machines. You don't need to know about materials or atomic theory to solve those kinds of problems, but you do need to insert a friction coefficient at some point, and that's where it gets interesting. So what value do you use? And to address that, I describe a whole lot of ways that people have measured friction forces and coefficients, and then beyond that, go into many factors that can affect those values. And first, as a matter of fact, in the first edition, I put effects of variables like load and speed and temperature into an appendix. But in the second edition, I brought it right out front and center because those are quite important. And of course, I had to say something about lubrication. No book about friction would be complete without it. And then finally, we get to specific applications. Some of them are based on personal experience. Others, like bioimplants and skin friction, were added to fill some gaps in the coverage. There were so many possible choices that I had to leave out a lot, even in 400 plus pages. And almost every day I find neat examples of friction that I wish I'd included.
So like what? What kind of examples?
Oh, friction, for example, the NBA had a problem with the tactile feel of basketballs.
Hmm.
And when they tried to replace it, the basketballs with a different surface, they've got complaints by the PETA, the people who are worried about the ethical treatment of animals and so forth. So they had to go back to a different surface. So there are all these little anecdotal things that are actually quite interesting. And if you think about things like the Winter Olympics, nearly every sport has something to do about friction. So you could just spend a good deal of the time talking about different sports and how friction relates to the performance in those sports.
And that might be an interesting follow-up or an appendix in a future edition of the book, maybe. But I guess in the meantime, who would you recommend to pick up the book? Who's the audience that you had in mind?
When I sat down to write this, I looked at the broadest possible audience. So I don't think a reader should necessarily require a graduate degree in engineering or even a BS degree to use the book. In fact, I've heard that it's being used as an introductory text in some college courses, undergraduate courses, and I wrote it so anyone interested in the subject of friction or friction testing or applications could find some useful information inside. You can see that in the way I arrange the content. For example, the discussion becomes more detailed and more specific as you go into the later chapters of the book.
Okay, so what, as you were putting the book together, what kind of difficulties or challenges did you run into?
Well, I think part of it had to do with the sheer volume of prior research and the diversity of that research in different fields. Friction-related research is published in different journals, different books, different contexts. So getting my hands around the content and distilling it down enough to organize the matter was a challenge at the beginning. And to survive the test of time, a book should not simply present the current popular theories. And that's kind of difficult with friction because every few years some new surface probing technique is invented or discovered, and the kinds of information folks are able to see using those new techniques invariably leads to new theories or a modification of a prevailing theory of friction. And that's the nature of tribal physics, and I appreciate that. In fact, part of the reason to begin with the history of friction was to put more recent ideas into a balanced perspective. people have thought and written about friction over the years, and a few of their ideas have survived the test of time. Frankly, as a materials engineer without formal training in lubrication theory, the parts on lubrication were probably the scariest to write, and I included plenty of citations to the lubrication experts and the best reviews I could find on lubrication to help shore that up.
Okay. So what are some of the applications that your book has been used in, or I guess how do people use the book?
Well, in addition to sort of instructional, it serves kind of as a guide to look at how to address different kinds of problems in friction. Applications like friction brakes, tires, bearings, gears, seals, bioimplants, just flooring, cables, even amusement park rides, and the list goes on. I think the point is that some applications have aspects in common with others, so we can apply some of the basic tools and rules rather broadly to them. On the other hand, some of the applications concern unique aspects where traditional approaches don't apply. And one example is the friction of human skin. Another example is high-speed friction in rifle boards. And one application I didn't include is friction in rail guns and rocket sleds, where steady-state arguments really go out the window. So there are challenging projects and applications all over, and it was just a matter of sampling them to try to give the reader a feel for what sorts of issues might be involved.
Hmm. Okay, so sampling, I guess on that note, could you offer up a couple of examples or best practices that come out of your book as an example to listeners?
Well, as I thought about it a bit, my background is strongly into testing, and one of the things that I notice in testing for friction is friction doesn't necessarily have a single value for a single application. An example of that is brake lining friction. And it embodies the idea that there isn't this single value, and it's really inadequate to portray the performance of brake materials over a range of operating conditions. It forces one to consider the design aspects of the system, the material complexity, the heat flow. Some friction materials in brake linings can contain upwards of 20 additives. And industry tests for automotive and truck brakes commonly involve multiple stages to characterize friction under cold conditions, repetitive drags, high temperatures, and so on. And with all the data generated in such expensive and well-instrumented tests, the driver's personal behavior has a lot to do with the stopping performance. It's a humbling experience to study friction of brakes, and the auto and truck industry continues to improve methods to improve brake safety. So I'd say, in terms of recognizing that friction can occur in complex environments and the need to understand that and apply techniques to identify its range of values, is a good example of a best practice.
Okay, so moving on to more generally, I want to ask you about, what do you think are the most important issues facing the field today, and what does the future look like to you?
I think there are different sets of important issues depending on where your perspective on the field. For academics, one important issue is to be able to extend their nanoscale level friction theories to higher size scales where emerging technology could benefit from improved fundamental understanding. Another is being able to understand what's happening in a buried interface where in situ observations may not be possible inside a bearing, inside a moving component at high temperatures or under severe conditions. How do you understand what's going on at that instant in the buried interface? In terms of laboratory testing, I think there's some important issues, and we need to evolve from simple small coupon tests under constant speeds and loads to spectrum tests that better simulate real applications and real machines. Such insights would be valuable to those designing systems like wind turbines and satellites with antenna that suddenly need to change position after months of pointing in the same direction. In addition, friction is affected by the surrounding environment, so there needs to be more research on friction in the presence of corrosive, oxidative, or particle-contaminated environments. And finally, there seems to be very little information on friction at high speeds and other extreme non-steady state conditions. And there's an opportunity to contribute there as well.
Okay, so I guess you started to touch on this, but novel or emerging ideas in the industry?
Well, if you look back in the last few years, in terms of friction science and materials, the work on these nearly zero solid friction films has prompted a lot of research interest, particularly among the surface physics communities. In addition, formulating effective high-temperature lubricants for long periods of unintended operation remains somewhat of a holy grail. It's been so for decades, and it still represents challenges because there are a lot of systems in energy conversion, for example, or transportation, that have to function with excellent efficiency for long periods of time at high temperatures. And I'd like to believe that the next class of graduating scientists and engineers are more street smart about friction than perhaps to believe that a single value can adequately describe the moving parts of the machine. Even a bearing that runs, say, at the same speed and load for most of its life still has to stop and start from time to time. So engineering design models should allow for that degree of flexibility and variability.
Okay. And then finally, just what would you like listeners to take away from today's discussion?
Well, I'm hoping that exposing readers to such a broad spectrum of friction concepts and applications will stimulate a lot of ideas, a lot of cross-fertilization between different disciplines. As a community tribology specialist, have come a long way, I think, in the last century and a half, but by no means can we address every new friction issue without carefully sitting down to define the problem, determine what the appropriate analysis is, what the right tools are, and inevitably that would involve some amount of testing to validate the proposed solutions. And I would hope that those who practice tribology would recognize that it's not as much a single discipline as it is a set of multidisciplinary challenges that draws on a combination of the classical training experience and admittedly some educated guesses.
And I think that's a great way to put it and a great way to look at the field, definitely.
Thanks.
Thank you so much, Peter, for joining us today and for your insight. We really appreciate it.
Oh, I enjoyed it very much, Kara, and thanks again to STLE for offering me this opportunity to share some thoughts.
Well, thank you for joining us today and for your insight. I'm Kara Lamar. For more news, information, and research on friction science and technology, you can visit our website. Remember, if you're an STLE member, you can purchase the book at a discount. You can look up the book at the STLE store at stle.org, or for more information, you can visit the publisher, CRC Press, at their website at crcpress.com. Thanks for joining us today. This has been another episode of the STLE Compass, pointing you in the right direction.